Unit 37. Recording 48. Exam practice. Listening, part 3. You will hear part of a radio interview in which two psychologists, Stella Burrows and Simon Perez, are giving advice to office workers. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear.
Good afternoon. Today we're looking at ways of getting on well with work colleagues. With me I have Stella Burrows and Simon Perez, both psychologists, who have recently published an article on the importance of workplace personalities in the office environment. Stella and Simon, welcome to the programme.
Hello.
Hi.
So, what do you mean by workplace personalities?
Well, we all know the classic office characters, don't we? I'm talking about the smooth talker with a suit that's a bit too shiny. The terribly efficient but nervous office manager. The person who can be seen dashing around everywhere and gets paid a lot, but no one is quite sure what they actually do. Every person has their own office persona.
Are you saying that people behave differently at their place of work from how they do at other times?
Yes, that's exactly what we're saying. Your office persona will be slightly, or indeed very different, from your home life character. If you're a live-to-work type, it's a good idea to think about how your character comes across to your colleagues. Perhaps other people are inspired by your efforts, or on the other hand, they may see you as a goody-goody. Your boss is likely to value the fact that you put so much effort into your work, although they may have started taking it for granted that you arrive early, stay late, and never put a foot wrong. In other words, you may seem too good to be true.
That's a live-to-work type. What about the work-to-live type?
Obviously, they're very different. In fact, they're quite literally opposite in every way. If you are a work-to-live type, your colleagues may be frustrated that you don't seem to be pulling your weight, or they may be fed up of making excuses for your being late. Your boss may secretly be impressed at your lack of interest in joining the rat race, but still be irritated by your lack of commitment and effort.
But surely these are extreme examples.
Well, sure. Most people are not at either of the two extremes we've described. They're probably somewhere in the middle. So we've come up with a number of tips which will help everyone to have a healthier work-life balance and so be a good work colleague.
Okay, let's have some concrete ideas for our listeners.
Well, whatever you do, don't take the credit for someone else's work, especially to try and impress your manager in meetings. Be prepared. Make sure you are up to date with new projects and have plenty of your own ideas. If you're working on a team project, make sure you pull your weight. Don't hide in the group and expect them to carry you. Take your job seriously, regardless of what you do, and other people in your workplace will respect and value their jobs. If you undermine what you do, you are undermining their job too. This is a surefire way to drive your colleagues mad.
How about on the more personal front? Do you have any advice there?
Well, yes, there are some very simple do's and don'ts that are just common sense. For example, don't gossip about your colleagues behind their backs. And if you can see that one of your colleagues is upset about something, ask if there's anything you can do to help. Also, be very careful about telling other people what you think they should do, unless, of course, they actually ask you for your opinion. You could easily lose colleagues' respect if you appear to be superior.
Stella and Simon, thank you so much for your time today. Everything you've said makes perfect sense. Let's hope that some people's office relationships improve as a result.
Now listen to part 3 again.